Tonight, go ahead and turn with us to the book of Galatians in the fourth chapter. We'll go ahead and start reading from the first verse. And it says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God had sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Amen. How many of us are glad tonight that he sent his Son for us in our life? Amen. I'm so glad for that tonight. And to read this and just to know that I did not have to go my entire life without being able to be born into a new family. That I didn't have to live my entire life in my own sins. For that I rejoice. That I don't have to go in my own corruption. I don't have to live in my own faults and mistakes. That by the death of Jesus, I am able to overcome. I am able to move forward. I'm able to take steps in a direction that otherwise I would have never been able to go. In my own life, I was only going down. In my own direction, I was only falling down. I was only going backwards. I only saw one outcome in everything that I ever did. But by his redemption, by his birth into this life, and by his death and his sacrifice for me, I was able to have something brand new. I was able to lay down something in my life that was giving me something brand new in me, a brand new life, a brand new opportunity, something that was as if I never had it before, in a brand new life. And for that tonight I rejoice. And as we read on in the 21st verse, and it says, "Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise." And then we go on and read down in the 31st verse, and it says, "So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of free." And I begin to read about this for a little while. And Paul was talking about, in reference to free and bond, not directly about the actual people, but he was more giving more in reference about what they were in service to, I guess, if you will. And I thought about that in my life personally. And I remember when I was in life to sin and everything that I was devoted to. And when I didn't have a direct relationship with God, my priorities were different. And what I dedicated my life to was different. Where I spent my time was different. Who I hung around with was different. I was unhappy. I'd never found any joy. I spent a lot of time trying to find joy in a lot of things. I was in service to trying to find joy out in the world. And that's not to say that people would have looked at me and probably found a lot of fault even then, but in my own life there was enough sin in me to condemn me to where if I would have died, I would have went to hell. How many of us know that today? I know that in my life out in this world that I was serving the world because I was serving for pleasures of life. Amen? And when I read about this, I think, thank God to know that I am not under bondage of sin. Thank God to know that by salvation, I'm not under bondage of sin. That by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, I am made free. Hallelujah. Praise God. I am set free by what he did for me. It's not that I have to live life in a struggle. I don't have to get up and debate if I'm going to make it each and every day. I get up in victory. Hallelujah. I get up knowing that I'm going to make it. It's not a question of if I'm going to. I am going to make it. There might be things along the way that try to slow you down. There might be things that try to toss you, try to get your mind off of where you're going. But that's not to say that you're still not going to get there. That's not to say that you still don't have the ability to overcome. You read about the free and the bond woman, and you read about Abraham, and I wanted us to go there. And you get in here and you read about this in the book of Genesis 21, verse 15. And the first son of the bondwoman, his name was Ishmael, the son of Hagar. And I thought about this. See, at the time, Sarah was trying to provide a child for Abraham and going about it her own way, and provided a handmaid to Abraham, trying to go about it her own way and provide something outside of the will of God. And how many of us have tried to do things out of the will of God, tried to do things our own way? And at the time, it probably seemed like a good idea to do it. But nonetheless, Ishmael was born. This would be, as we read of, the child that was born of the bondwoman. And even though that Abraham, as God directed him, was told to cast the child out, as you read on in this 15 through 19, it did not mean that this child would not be raised up. He was raised up to do something with a purpose. God didn't even leave out Ishmael without purpose. And I read on about that and I think, Lord, as you read about this, God, you had a purpose for the person that was barren. You spoke a promise to the one that said and even laughed to themselves that, God, there's no way that I can have a child. God, there's no way. Even when you promised it to me, I laughed and even denied that I laughed. And I thought about that so, and how that we get out in this world and we don't think, God, there's any way that I'm going to make it through this life. And God, even in all of my sins, that there's no way that I can be redeemed for everything that I have done. And how that in each of our lives, there is a promise for all of us. There is a promise of life. There is a promise of salvation. There is a promise for you, oh, to be able to live and to live in joy and to live in peace. There's a promise for you to live. And I thought about the promise that was, oh, hallelujah, oh, for the child and the free woman. And I think about that and it makes me rejoice to know that even though that the child of the bond woman was cast out, that the child and the free woman was raised up to do great and mighty things. Hallelujah. And it makes me know that, oh, that we are the child of the free, children of the free. Put this in comparison to sin tonight. Hallelujah. We do not serve in bondage. We do not live in bondage. We do not walk in bondage. We do not walk out in this world thinking that we have to deal with everything as it is. But we settle for it so often. We live for it so often. If it's something that bothers us, we'll live with it. We'll just deal with it. We'll just say that's how it has to be. I just have to live with this in my mind. I just have to deal with this. These people talking to me this way. I just have to deal with people having a bad attitude around me. I can't get down and pray to the one that has set me free. I just have to deal with everything going on around me. And I can't get down and call out on God to give me the peace of mind to be able to deal with things. We are children of the free. He intends for us to not be in bondage. Do you hear what I'm saying tonight? He intends for us to be able to walk free. He intends for us to have a free mind and a free heart. He intends for us to be able to serve Him freely. Do you know what I'm saying? We don't need to be in bondage. We don't need to serve Him in bondage. We don't need to serve, oh hallelujah, serve man in fear and walk in and not be, feel like we can serve God without looking over our shoulder and feeling like that I have to worry about what brother and sister such and such would look at me and say and worry about their opinions, but I should be free in the Spirit of God and, oh hallelujah, be able to serve, oh, the God that has raised us up to do great and mighty things. The enemy has come, oh, to sift us up, to move us out, to push us around, to not give us the ability to do anything. But the God that we serve has made us free. By His Spirit we are free. As I was praying even before I got here tonight, I feel how the bondage of the enemy, how strong that it is. And as I was praying, all I could say was, God, release the bondage that is on your people. Release that captivity that is laying dormant on your people. Oh, people can't even get their hands up anymore to be able to serve God. That bondage is so strong, we can't even live to enjoy anything. I'm telling you, what used to be able to bring a smile to our face has left us. We can't even enjoy life. We can't even have a laugh anymore. I'm telling you, I want to learn to laugh. I want to learn to live. I want to be free without being so reserved. I want to be able to enjoy my life. I want to be free in His Spirit. I want to be happy, oh, with what He's given me. He set me free so I could be happy, so I could celebrate the life that lives in me. I'm free
from all the bondage of sin so I don't have to walk in all this misery of life. Life was meant to be lived in joy. Somebody needs this tonight. I feel the pressing down. Oh, that's coming upon the people tonight. You need to hear this tonight. We're meant to be free. We're meant to hold our head up high. We're meant to walk in joy. Somebody needs this tonight. We're meant to get up and leap, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We're not under bondage. Somebody needs to get a hold of that. Who? We're not under bondage. And when we accept that, we're not applying faith. Come on now. God did not raise us up to be in a spirit, to walk in an anointing of unbelief. He did not raise us up to be a people that did not have joy. With all that's in me tonight, with all that I have in my being, I'm fighting for my life. I'm fighting for my joy. And I'm fighting for your joy. I'm striving to see a smile on your face. I'm fighting for your happiness. I will not let the enemy drag you down in the dirt. I'm standing in the gap tonight. I will not have it happen. I believe that we serve a God that has blessed us with more than enough spirit so that we can walk freely, so that we can serve God freely, so that we can stand up and say, God, I worship you in this house tonight. When we were singing that song, I wish I would have just said, oh, hallelujah, call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. Oh, for you're free in his spirit. You're free in his place of worship. You're free as he draws nigh unto you. Oh, somebody help me preach for a minute. You're free as he is in your feet. You're free as he is all about you. You're free as he is in your voice. You're free as he is in your shout. Hallelujah. I feel him all over me. I can't help it. He's all in this house. You just got to use him. Hallelujah. He is the almighty, omnipresent, omnipotent, almighty God. He knows your every need. He's all about you. He's your healer. He's your divine power. He's your savior. He's your joy. He's your peace. Don't let me get all your joy. Go ahead and get something for you tonight. Oh, hallelujah. If you go without something for a while, you'll forget what it feels like to have it incorporated in your life. And I know this. When I was a teenager, I went for a space of time not allowing myself to feel happy, refusing, because I was so afraid of falling, so afraid of being let down, so afraid of failure, that I had no anticipation, no excitement. Anxiety for mistakes was so high that I wouldn't do anything. I wouldn't step out and do anything. I was so afraid to say a word. So afraid to do anything with anybody. Does anybody understand that? Anybody know about that? I'm telling you, you can get yourself so locked up in bondage that you won't be able to enjoy your life for anything in this world. But God intended for us that we'd be able to have, oh, a fellowship in our heart, so that when you see somebody down and locked up in that kind of bondage, that you say, oh, brother, I just want to help you. I'm there for you. And that you not feel like, oh, that you're imposing, but the love of God, well, will break down on that wall, that you won't have to fight with it. You won't have to argue about it. That the Spirit of God will do the work. Hallelujah. And you'll be able to restore joy by what God has done through you and to them. We go so long without something, we just settle in our life for what we have. I refuse to believe that life is supposed to be lived without a certain amount of joy. I'm starting to accept that I'm supposed to laugh. You're supposed to laugh. You're supposed to smile. You're supposed to have joy. Life is meant to have happiness. And if you're not happy in your life, it's time to get down and communicate to God. Lord, help me. God, help me. Restore unto me that which I'm missing. Because if you go a long way without that joy, everything else in your life loses its substance. You hurt all the people around you. I've been there. I understand this. And without even knowing it, they don't understand what you're going through. There's so many people as Christians that need us to show. Listen, I love to read God's Word. Just loving God's Word is not going to help anybody. The love of God in your heart, enjoying your life, and how you let that show towards others is what makes a difference. It's what builds someone else's faith and not just your own. Now, you can talk all day long about why you see people in churches and ministries, some going up and some going down, and I could debate this with you all day. We could talk about it. You could talk about it being the lack of the Word of God, or you could talk about it being the lack of the Spirit, or people being lack of prayer, and the praise and worship not being good enough, or you could talk about it being the money or the lack of money. We could debate this all day long. But I know this much. When people have the love of God, it doesn't matter how much of a resource you have in money and wealth and buildings and people, that if you have the love of God, you can do anything. You don't even have to have the ability to read. You can still see souls saved. You can still draw people into the kingdom. I'm speaking this into somebody right now. I got to stop what I'm doing right now. You are not under bondage. Somebody, you are not under bondage. We are not bound by anything in this world. I'm going to go back to the message. Then you read about Isaac, son of the free woman, and how that Abraham also followed the instruction that God had led him to do, to take him up into the mountain and to sacrifice him, and had him all the way up until the point where he had bound him and had took his knife above him. And then God spoke to him and said, I know, paraphrasing here, but I know that you're faithful to me. Told him not to take him, not to take his life. And as he unbound him, and they were, and I know we often wonder, Lord, where are we going to find what we need in these times? But when we serve the God, and when we're free and not bound in doubt, He will make a way. He will provide the impossible. But we have to be faithful even to do the things. And I'm not talking about literally offering our own, but I'm talking about enough faith to believe to that magnitude. Would we believe to that magnitude in our heart to trust God so much, even with our home and with our finances and everything we have? I'm thinking nowadays we hardly trust God with anything because we like to see results. We're a generation of results. We like to see things right now. And if we can't see it in our hand, on a spreadsheet, or on our online banking mobile app, it's hard for us to believe anything. If our checking account bounces once, we're done with God. We go through one hard time, then God's not able. Yet we always wonder how that all these people were so blessed of God when we read in His Word, but they were tested. They went through times that they had their faith applied to something. They had to step up and believe God. They had to stand through the test of something. And they realized they were free. And I'm not sure, maybe in that time they realized in their mind, I'm free from bondage of fear. Maybe they didn't say that to themselves, but maybe they just knew that they served a God that was able. And I don't know what you have to tell yourself to motivate you. And I'm not going to be able to say the phrase that gets you going. I could try that all night long. That's not what I'm standing here for. What I'm trying to do is just get you to think, to get you to shake it up in your heart, to realize that why are you coming week after week and still feeling like you're in bondage? Why are we still feeling like the church is important to us and yet we feel like that God is not providing? Why do we feel like the church is no benefit to us and yet we serve the most powerful God when we do not put into use what is in the Word of God? And it's not that hard to do. You just have to begin to do it. It's really not that bad. Just simply say in your heart, Lord, I know that your ways are above my ways. That God, that you're able to do things impossible to what I could do. And Lord, I'm praying and trusting in you. Get your life together and live it the way He wants you to. And see what would begin to happen. I know it's not that hard because I've done it. I'm doing it. I'm trying it. I'm striving.
How many of us are striving? Can I get an amen? But if you just hang in there, if you keep on reading the book of Matthew, chapter 16, the 24th verse, and it says, "Then Jesus said unto the disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And this is what I'm going to close with tonight. And this is the thought that God gave me that stirred my heart, that got me down to pray. The hardest part about serving God is the natural part of our life, or what we call the flesh. Our opinions, our point of views, our perspectives. And the part of us that resists the Word of God is the natural. The part that maybe you've heard some things even tonight that, ooh, I don't know about that, Jared. It's the natural. When we're not totally open to what God would begin to speak, or maybe you're looking at me instead of heeding the Word of God and you're just ready to throw stones at me. It's the natural. Now I understand, I've been on the seat before and been there. I understand. I felt the resistance in my heart. It's called the opposition of the natural. It opposes the Word of God. It's the natural reaction of the flesh when it hears the Word of God to oppose it, to resist it, to say, I don't want to change. I don't want to apply faith. I don't want to move up to the Word of God. I don't want to get down and pray. I don't want to get away from sin. I like living in the world. That's the part of it that it's hard to get away from. But if we can learn to kill out the natural, if you read that, as Jesus was saying, he said, if any, and you read in other references, whosoever will, let him come. If any will come after me, let him deny himself. Lay down your natural tonight. Just hear this part, I'm closing. Let him deny himself. Church, lay down your natural. Lay down your doubts. Lay down your opinions tonight. Hear the Word of God just for a minute. I feel the Spirit. Lay down everything that would make you resist getting closer to God. Take up His cross. Pick up something. Pick up faith. Pick up that which you'll be persecuted for. Pick up joy that you may lose from time to time. But joy won't carry you further than torment. Do you hear what I'm saying? Bondage will not take you anywhere. Bondage keeps you sitting still. I've never saw anybody that was ever bound by chains that ever got anywhere. They were sitting still. But if you take up something of Jesus, you'll go places. You'll do great things. You'll fulfill your dreams. You'll have joy in your life. You will not be stuck in the same place that you are tonight. You'll go beyond where you are right now. Don't resist the Word of God. Don't resist when you feel the Spirit. Just rise up and worship. Just rise up and embrace the Word of God as it would minister to you. Let this be a difference in your life. Let this night be a mind-changing event for you. Say in the midst of your heart, Lord, I'm changing. God, I receive it. Lord, I'm making a difference. God, I'm getting out of these shackles tonight. Lord, I'm taking up your cross and I'm gonna follow you. Lord, I'm getting out of all this that's had me bound up. Lord, I'm gonna heed to your Spirit. Oh, I feel this now. I'm gonna heed to your Spirit and I'm gonna step out and follow you, Lord. Let him take up his cross and what? Follow. Oh, to follow is to stay, to move. And to continue in. Take up that which you need. Follow it. Stay with it. Keep coming to church. Keep seeking after your joy. Don't let nobody, you hear this tonight, don't let nobody steal your joy. Don't let me steal your joy. Don't let your spouse steal your joy. Don't let nobody steal your joy. God gave it to you to have. You're having problems at home, you seek God, He'll give you joy. Nobody likes to talk about that one, but everything starts at home. If you have problems at home, you seek God, He'll give you joy. Don't tell me that you're able to worship God easy if you have a hard time at home. Come on, He'll give you joy. Take up His cross, follow.